From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 2019 when a local father took his son to a shopping experience in Buffalo. It wasn't at a traditional store or outdoor market. It was a space where all the vendors were age 18 or younger. His son was one of them. Matthew Wagstaff had been mentoring young people with business and product ideas for years. He noticed that there were many programs that taught them the nuts and bolts of entrepreneurship, but the platforms for the business owners to sell their products were few and far between. And that's why he created the Young Entrepreneur Marketplace. The first event was held in September 2019 at First Genesis Baptist Church. The marketplace continues to provide opportunities for kids and teenagers 7 through 18 to showcase and sell the products that they develop and the services they provide. And it ranges from greeting cards to crocheted dinosaurs, jewelry, food like sauces and cookies. This hour, we're going to meet a number of young entrepreneurs who discuss their work, their ideas, and what they're learning. And we'll talk with the man behind the program, and that is Matthew Wagstaff, who I think is on with us now, creator of the Young Entrepreneur Marketplace. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm so glad you're with us. I said at the outset of the hour, we need good news in the world. There's enough on wildfires and COVID and climate change. This is, I'm really excited to talk to not only these kids, but the adults in their lives. And I'm grateful that you're with us. So thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is a pleasure.
And it is a packed studio. So let me say hello to everybody who is here. First of all, welcome back to the program, Luva Alvarez, who is back with us. You know Luva from her work with the Parent Leadership Training Institute, but it was through a conversation that we learned a little bit about what's going on here, because Silas, her son, is the CEO and creator of Socially Silas and Silas Sauce. Luva, it's nice to see you
again. Nice to see you again.
Silas, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And welcome to a big group in studio. We've got Julius Davis, J.L. Davis, Jair Bell, Jahan Davis, all with us. Everybody can just say hi at once. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Everybody. It's a bunch of people with a bunch of ideas. It's great having them. And hello to Jocelyn Stevenson, Director of Marketing for Dynomites, who's on with us. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi.
So we got a packed show and a lot of people with a lot of great ideas. But Matt, we tried to kind of tell the story a little bit at the outset here. Let people know what your vision and your goal is for the Young Entrepreneur Marketplace.
No, that's a great question. And so, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And hi, everybody. Good to see everybody on the call today, or hear everybody on the call today. Really, the vision ultimately is to create a community of connected and like-minded business families. And so it's not just about the young entrepreneurs, but also their network and their support systems that help to enable them. And so ultimately, my vision would be to have 100 plus across the nation, you know, starting in our own backyard, young entrepreneurs and their families to be connected with each other and then thriving in the businesses that they have established for themselves. And then ultimately, they have the skill set that whether they want to be entrepreneurs as adults or want to be just sort of contributing, successful contributors to society, they have the skill set that they need in order to communicate effectively and be able to maneuver and navigate in this world.
The next Young Entrepreneur Marketplace is on August 14th. So it's next month from 2 to 4:30 at the First Genesis Baptist Church. That's on Hudson Avenue in Rochester. You can register online at youngentrepreneurmarketplace.org/events. Easy to find. Matt, who are you still hoping will be there on that day?
In terms of the entrepreneurs?
Yeah.
Or
I mean, general public entrepreneurs. I mean, who's it for?
Yeah, I mean, this is for the community. Think of the public market for kids, or for young adults, I should say, for those who are 18. you know, really would love to have as many people across the greater Rochester area and even Western New York come out and just support our young people. I would love for everyone who's on the call today who have been past participants of the marketplace to come back and experience it again. And really want to get some new folks out. I know Kid Drip will be their first time at the marketplace in August, which I'm super excited about meeting them in person. We would love to have Silas as well as Jocelyn and the others come back.
You should see, by the way, their shirts are so cool. We'll post some pictures. Everybody looks so good. They all look so ready to tell their stories. So let's talk about how some of these ideas have come together. I'm going to start with Silas Alvarez, CEO and creator of Socially Silas and Sila sauce. What is Sila sauce? Let's start there.
So Sila sauce is a fresh blend of veggies that include peppers. You got herbs from my backyard garden, such as like basils and cilantros. And you also got, like I said, different peppers, like green peppers and some mild peppers that blend into a sauce.
Okay. And so it's a sauce. Why did you decide, you know what I want to do? I want to make a sauce.
I really decided to make a sauce because my garden, actually last year during the pandemic of 2020, my garden had abundance of different veggies. So I decided to take some of those veggies, cut them up, and make a blend that makes a sauce.
How do you blend it?
I usually use like a chopper or a blender, stuff like that.
Okay. And when you started, like with this idea, you're looking at all these vegetables. Mm-hmm. It's 2020 pandemic. Nobody's got anything to do, you know. But are you somebody who's like into food to begin with? Like, do you like to cook?
Yeah, I love to cook.
Mom, you're nodding over there. You want to add to that, Luva?
Oh yeah. So Silas is we have three children. So Silas is the child that really enjoys cooking for the family. He's like also our personal chef in our home. He cooks dishes that you probably were like, oh, where did he get that from? How did he do that?
How old is he?
And he's only 13 years old. So he's cooking up a storm, or he's reading recipes or menus off the internet and tried it out. And one of the things that he did last year was in the summer, or last year when the pandemic, is bake. He was baking all kind of cookies and cakes and stuff. And we were just like, oh, okay. And so, you know, we just fostered it.
I'm so sorry for you.
I know.
What is your favorite thing that he makes besides the sauce?
Oh, of course, the sauce is one of our favorites. But I think he makes this nice, chicken parmesan type of, and it's like nicely seasoned and well baked. It's like something, I can't even explain it, but it's really good. He's even tried fish, you know, and that's, of course, we support him and help him along the way. But that's one of our favorite pasta dish, you know. The other day he helped made a vegetarian a dish for the house.
So Silas, what's a good vegetarian dish? I mean, like, if you're making food tonight and I'm like, you know what, I don't know, I mean, chicken parm sounds great, but what are you gonna make if you ask for something vegetarian?
To me, I honestly say the veggie lasagna that I made the other day, that was actually really good. My sister liked it, and she doesn't really like things, so
yeah. Your sister even liked it.
Yeah.
The veggie lasagna.
And it has spinach and mushrooms in it.
And she ate it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she know that it had spinach and mushrooms?
No. No, that's the whole point, yeah. And it was a homemade pasta sauce and all, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I love the creativity, but if when you're thinking about doing a sauce, you know, I wouldn't even know where to begin with how to make it, you know, the consistency of a sauce, the seasoning, the texture. Mm-hmm. How did you go about that?
So I really took the time and like researched a lot of different salsas, and as well as like from like backgrounds, like knowing that like my family was Hispanic, so they use a lot of different sauces. So I really took the different textures that they had, and I tried to make it so it had the correct consistency when making my salsa sauce.
So are you a hot salsa kind of a fan, or are you like a mild?
I would say more of a mild person.
Okay. Luva, what about you?
Oh, I don't do no hot sauce at all.
No?
No. I mean, and I'm from, you know, Hispanic, you know, background and Caribbean.
I don't know if you are anymore.
I'm just mild. I just, you know, mild is about the farthest I can do.
At this age.
Yeah. Maybe I was 20s then.
So Silas is 13. I think I was 15 when I had a busing job at a restaurant. And I came in one day and they had a sauce in a bottle that was unlabeled. And they said, we're just testing to see what you can handle. And I'm like, well, I can handle anything. And they put on the amount of sauce on a cracker that was like a thumbnail. And I'm like, you can give me more than that. They're like, you're not going to need it. And I nearly died that day, Silas. I mean, like, that was nearly the end for me. I have never in my life cried so much. I was chugging milk because I tried ice for a while. That didn't help. I was chugging milk. I'm not a hot sauce guy. I'm with Luba. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I love a good mild sauce. Mm-hmm. So are you making just one kind of sauce for now, or are you aiming to make different kinds?
Just one for right now, mainly because, you know, you want to make sure that everybody can have a good taste when they have sauces. So, yeah, use one for now.
The Silo sauce is one sauce. How would you describe it to people then? What's it like?
I'd probably say that it's more like a good flavory aftertaste sauce.
Okay. Luvo, you want to describe it? What do you think?
So it's a salsa sauce that you can eat pretty much with anything. Typically, the customers that he have had who have sent back pictures and stuff, they've ate it with egg dishes, or they have used it with their tortilla chips. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's unique that he probably forgot to mention, that it does not contain any tomatoes in it. It's just a fresh salsa sauce from green peppers, red peppers, basil, those things, and some other secret stuff. But he has not put in any tomatoes. And so that has been a real hit for many of his customers who do not eat tomatoes or cannot eat that. Mm-hmm. But the red sauce type mm-hmm. of salsa sauce.
Oh, I love bell pepper.
Yeah, well, that's what's in there. Fresh, all mm-hmm. fresh. And this, yeah.
That's really great. Where is the recipe?
In our house.
Yeah.
Is it in the back of our heads?
It's in the back of your head?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to come and just let us know?
No.
But you know what it is.
Yes.
You know what it is. Okay, so you know the recipe. You've got that under control. And how many bottles have you made to date?
I'd say probably close to 100 probably more than 100.
I'm sorry, this summer or from last year?
I mean total.
Yeah, like 120, maybe like.
How do you do that many?
I have like a big bottle, and I decided to like take that big bottle, make one batch or more than like at least two batches a summer, and then I distinguish it into each and every sauce.
Yeah, and he also has family. You know, his sister sometimes helps. Mm-hmm. You know how she's a teenager girl, so she's like, I don't know, doing all that cutting up and stuff. But for the most part, me and him as a tag team mm-hmm. That work together. Yeah.
And Silas, what have you learned about selling a sauce? I mean, it's one thing to make it. It's one thing to have an idea. But as we'll talk to Matt in just a moment here, sometimes it's hard to find a way to get it to customers. What have mm-hmm. you learned?
I've actually learned to use a lot of social media, mainly because a lot of people use social media, especially since last year in the pandemic, because you couldn't really go to people's houses and say, hey, you want some sauce? Not like it's like a regular daily thing. You would have to use social media. You have to text people. So that was like, I guess for me, that was like a big thing because I was already like very techie. And I guess just using social media was just easy. Yeah.
Okay. And do you remember selling the first bottle? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that exact day.
What's the story?
So I was I was sitting on my kitchen table and I was typing. My mom actually posted and said, oh, my son had made a Silo sauce. Who wants it? And I was sitting there trying to look up different ways or different bottles I can use. And then I finally found one, and my mom was like, oh, Sauce, you got your first sauce. I was like, wait, what? From who? And it was just from there I just knew that this is going to be a big thing.
His first customer was actually a young gentleman named Tyler Benson that supported him. And he's part of the CLTI program, or PLTI, and he bought two jars. So he was the first customer. Mm-hmm. And Silas was like shocked. And then we took a picture of that because it was so like innocent to watch his face. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, oh my God. And then when he got his money, that we took a picture of that because that was his first money from the business mm-hmm. that he sold. And then this has been going on, ongoing. So we have sold to family and friends. But the community of Rochester has been very, very supportive with this sauce and just like sharing it from friends to friends. And, you know, he goes to school in Greece and superintendent there supported and teachers. And mm-hmm. they come to the door and then they send pictures of what they made it with and shared it on.
What is it like for you knowing now that you're creating something that people want, not just because they know you, but because they really like it?
I guess that's more, it's like a nice feeling that people actually like something that I made in the community. And I guess it's like a nice way to really like know that people in the community actually like what different young people can do. And I just find that really fantastic.
It's awesome, man. How big is the garden?
It's a fair size.
Yeah.
It's actually like right behind my house.
Are you pretty good at growing now? I mean, like, are you pretty, because it's been wet. It's been kind of tough in July.
Yeah.
But yes. Are you pretty good at growing now, Silas?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, Luva, is that your deal too?
So I do, but a little bit. I ain't about to be digging up no dirt and stuff all day. I'm being honest. But I do help him, you know, just guide him along the way, make sure he stays intact of exactly what he needs to be doing. But he's pretty good at putting the dirt together and mixing it all up and digging it all up and taking out the weeds and putting it back in and shifting it around. He's pretty good at that. And then when it's starting to grow, he pulls it out and, you know, so he mostly handles that. It just constantly reminds him, oh, hey, the garden is growing. Did you see the stuff in there? Take it out. But I don't do that much.
Well,
and he's been doing this since he's in third grade. So he's been doing it for a young age.
That's awesome. Yeah. Silas, where can people find Silas Sauce?
I say people can find Silas Sauce on my social media, which is at @socially_Silas. And you can just do a direct message. And I do that on Facebook as well as Instagram.
Socially_Silas. Yes. S-I-L-A-S. Silas Sauce is the name of the sauce. Matt Wagstaff, the creator of the Young Entrepreneur Marketplace, what do you think of this story?
I love the story. I mean, this is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the community supporting our young people and the development and the possibilities that they see as a result of it. And so Silas's story with his mom, Luva, it just exemplifies what we're trying to do here. I love the fact that his mom just put out the ask. You know, one of the big parts or one of the big stumbling blocks in business is just asking and being afraid to ask. And so the fact that she asked, someone responded, and the other big point that I just want to make sure I emphasize is, again, we created this because we didn't see an opportunity for young folks to sell their products. And I know firsthand the value of actually seeing the Cash App notification come through or that dollar hitting your hand. So when Luva indicated that, you know, Silas was so surprised by having that dollar hit his hand, that's exactly the sort of feeling that I want to just multiply across this community.
I love that. I love what you're learning. I mean, I'm looking at this story about talking to farmers about even understanding the genders of peppers. And I mean, what's the story there, Silas?
So I actually went to the Publix market the other day, and my mom was actually showing me different like value with your and money management. So one of the guys, he was like, "Oh, did you know that there's a female and a male pepper?" And I was like, "What? Like, I'm just growing peppers. Who would never do?" that there's a female or a male pepper. And I guess like the four, like there's like four bumps on the back of the pepper, and that indicates that that's like a male pepper. And then there's three bumps on another pepper, and that indicates that that's a female pepper. So it's just like a weird but cool thing to know.
And some are better for cooking, some better for...
Yeah,
like the one, I think the female has more seeds, and then the male has less seeds. So I think that's the one that's more not as sweet as the female. Yeah, yeah. And so we didn't know that. And like he said, one of the things I'm always trying to do is, you know, I'm always fostering whatever my kids have developed, what they're trying to do. And so we do these little tours at public markets and meet different local farmers. So just either A, support, or just learn more about what they do. And one of the biggest things is like learning about money, like, you know, how they make money. Like when we go to, say if you went to Wegmans and bought peppers, like what that cost is to put it to the farmer. And then like with the farmer, you know, how we're supporting them, giving it back to them. It's local, right? It's coming from them. So, and the guy was really nice about sharing details and stories and stuff with Silas. And it was really nice to see that a farmer took the time out to just give him some tips on how to grow his garden or how to just be more involved in what he was doing. So, yeah.
What a great story. Let me turn to Jocelyn Stevenson, who's the director of marketing for Dino Mites. DINO-MITES. What are dynamites, Jocelyn?
So
They're like crocheted dinosaurs that have stuffing inside. They each have like their own personality and like their own story to go with it. For example, we have a light green triceratops. Her name is Shelly. She likes to go to the beach. She grows her own food. She's an animal lover. She's vegan, and she's best friends with her fan, with her, sorry, she's best friends with her, with July 16th.
And I lost you for a second, Jocelyn. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, sort of how this all came together.
So my partner, Angelina, started making them through quarantine last year. And she actually made me some, and like I would bring them to school, and people would wonder where I got them or if she was selling them. So I told her, I was like, you should start selling these. I think it would be really good. So we started coming up with things and like getting different themes, different like different offers that we can do. And we started selling them around school, and then we sold over 40.
Over 40. What was that like?
It was definitely fun. It was a lot of work.
Success is hard.
They take about 20 minutes each to like make. So, and I wasn't able to learn the pattern because it was too difficult for me. So Angelina made them all by hand, and like I would control the marketing, the money, everything like that. It worked out. We're a perfect team, actually, but it definitely is a lot of work and a lot of time and effort to be put into this.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking just selling your first 40 of these things. That's almost 13 hours of work just to make them, right?
Yeah, and we started, like, we would spend our free periods, and we would go to, like, a classroom, which is for, like, four, like, businesses. Mm-hmm. And it would, we would, like, sit there all class period, and we would, like, make things. I can do certain parts of dinosaurs. She would make the bodies, and it worked out really well. We had a good system going.
But help me visualize it, Jocelyn. You said it's crocheted, but like, what's the material we're talking about? How big are these things?
They're not that big. I mean, they're maybe the size of my palm. Mm-hmm. But we are trying to figure out different, like, depending on the type of yarn you use, it shows like how big the dinosaur is. So if we use smaller yarn, we have smaller dinosaurs, bigger yarn, bigger dinosaurs. So we're trying to figure out different offers or different themes where we can have different sized dinosaurs.
Okay. And how much are people paying for one of them?
An average, like one of the ones we have all year round are $7, but some of our special edition ones are usually $8 or $9. If they're a different size, the bigger ones are probably like $15, maybe $20. But the ones that we sell all year right now are $7.
Okay. How old are you, Jocelyn?
I'm 16. Okay. Angelina is 17.
Okay. And who's the target market for this? Who's buying these things?
Right now, it's like just kind of kids, but it works really well for school. Like, I use them. I can use them for stress balls, or it kind of just calms you down, like looking at it, because it's kind of just cute and small.
I think it's very creative, but you know, running a business is tough. And I love that mm-hmm. you guys already are kind of putting your heads together and figuring out, what am I good at? What can I do? You're the director of marketing. What have you learned about, even in this short time, Jocelyn, about running a business?
I definitely have to be more organized. But I have to be more organized, and I have to know things off the top of my head. I can't just like be looking for things. If someone were to ask me a question, I got to know it, and I got to be able to organize all of my things so it's easy to find and everything like that.
you definitely got to be organized. And Jocelyn, years ago, I had a friend who was a chocolate maker in Kansas City. And this was back when Oprah was still on the air. And Oprah would do her favorite thing show every year. And her, the show, the company, called his company, and they said, Oprah loves your chocolates. We want to put them on Oprah's favorite things at the annual show. But he basically said, if I do this, I will not be able to fulfill the orders that are going to come in. Like, I'm not ready for this. And he had to turn it down because he knew he wasn't organized enough to get production up. I mean, if you were on Oprah's favorite things now, Jocelyn, that would be both amazingly good and terrifying, because making 40 of those things is one thing. Now try to imagine making 40,000. So there's different sort of scales for doing things. And I wonder, like, what do you want to do, Jocelyn? Like, how big do you want to get with this?
Obviously, we want it to spread outside of our community. The most we've sold are through school or maybe like family members or people that know us personally. We want this to spread to like different people, not inside of our little world. We want everyone to hear about this, and we try to have different like themes that appeal to everyone.
So where do people find Dino Mites, Jocelyn?
You can look on our Instagram. The at is Dynamite World, DinoMiteWorld.
Dynamite World on Instagram.
Yeah. Yes.
Matthew Wagstaff, what do you think of this one?
I love this story. And this story, it has two important aspects I want to highlight. One of which is Dynamite is out of Western New York, out of Buffalo. And so they came to Rochester to, as she said, as Jocelyn said, to spread the word and open up the doors in terms of their market. And so I love that about them. And they have a great teacher and mentor who's supporting them. But secondly, the one word that comes up to me about this group is teamwork, and the importance of creating a team when you're trying to do anything of significance in this world. And so they say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's exactly what comes to my mind, top of mind with this group, along with their super creativity. I love the fact that I was able to buy a Dynamite that had my son's name and had a personality of its own. I gave it to my daughter as like, okay, here's your brother, and you can hang out with him when you don't want to hang out with the person. So I thought that was so cool.
And Matthew, you know, going back to that story of a chocolate maker having to tell Oprah no, that's an adult chocolate maker and who had been in business for 5 years, who still had to say no to a huge opportunity because sometimes scale can be scary. Now, the young entrepreneur marketplace, I don't want to say just kids to that as a way of minimizing them. These are kids who have obviously excellent ideas. It's a question of what it becomes and who can support them and what is realistic. Like, what do you see as realistic for some of this stuff, Matt?
I mean, the sky's the limit here. I mean, a lot of these things here, again, is really to sort of be the tip of the iceberg and really to open their eyes to what is possible. And then once they come up against challenges, the next evolution is how do you address those things? And so I don't expect the young people to be perfect out the gate. I expect them to learn, stumble, fall, nothing catastrophic, of course, but just definitely learn through failing forward potentially in this aspect. But I definitely think that all these ideas have potential with the right partnerships and mentorships to scale up. I think Dynamite, for example, is a great opportunity if they're starting to think of that way, because you challenged them, Evan, to think more broadly. Mm-hmm. They should now take that back to their mentor, to their teacher, say, okay, if we were to get the call from Oprah, I think that's an excellent, almost excellent practice for kids to think about. If Oprah called me, you know, how could we get ourselves ready today for that call? And even if they don't get to that point right now, just thinking that way is a great evolution in their mindset. So I think you did a great justice to them right here by showing them what's possible and how they need to be thinking.
You can register online for an event coming up. The Young Entrepreneur Marketplace is August 14th in Rochester at 2 o'clock. It's at the First Genesis Baptist Church on Hudson Ave. Register online, youngentrepreneurmarketplace.org. And then just go to /events, go to the events page, youngentrepreneurmarketplace.org. Jocelyn, as we let you go here, what's been the hardest thing about running? But what is the single hardest thing to this? Because I'm sure it's fun and, you know, you're working with friends and you're doing cool stuff and you've got customers. But what is the hardest thing?
like I said, being organized, but also me and Angelina, we're teenage girls. We're going to have arguments, and we have to be able to work through that. And no matter how mad we are at each other, we still have to be able to work through our business, get together during classes and work. So we kind of both learned to put our differences aside for this business, and that was probably a hard thing to do, to separate emotion and business.
That is an amazingly mature thing to do. But Jocelyn, tell me, what do you do when you know you're right and she's wrong?
I'm very strong-headed, so I like continue to argue. But sometimes I say, let's just drop it and move on.
I'm mostly kidding. I mean, it sounds to me like you are, it sounds to me like you have it figured out. And frankly, at 16, 17 years old, you are negotiating disagreements and arguments in a way that will preserve your friendship and preserve your business and, frankly, make your business better. I mean, arguments and disagreements are part of life if you can make them productive. And sometimes it's good to drop it and let it go. And sometimes it's good to see where it takes you. But I am really impressed with your approach to this, Jocelyn. Good luck to you with Dynomites. And I'll let you go. You're on the phone, so I'll let you go now. But thanks for telling the story on the show today.
Thank you.
Jocelyn Stevenson's the director of marketing for Dynomites. We've been learning about Silosauce, and after we take our only break of the hour, we're going to talk about Kid Drip LLC. It's all part of the entrepreneur marketplace for young people. The Young Entrepreneur Marketplace is coming your way on August 14th in Rochester, and these are kids who have ideas that really work, that can really work if they get support and they learn something. And that's why Matthew Wagstaff is with us. He's the creator of the marketplace and someone who understands what it means to actually support an idea and nurture it along. Let's take that break, and we're right back with Kid Drip next. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, Monroe County has attempted to do some ethics reform, but one of the proposals put forward would have forced its health director, Dr. Michael Mendoza, to resign. And the people who created that piece of legislation said, well, we got it wrong, we're going to redo it. What's going on with ethics reform? How to get it right? How to depoliticize it? We'll talk about it Friday.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. The Young Entrepreneur Marketplace has existed. How long, Matthew Wagstaff, who's joining us on the phone, the creator of the marketplace, how long have you been doing this?
Well, the marketplace formally started in 2019. Mm-hmm. However, my daughter started her first business back in Buffalo, I would say in 2009. And then my son started his cookie business in 2018. They're 10 years apart.
Awesome stuff. So I want to bring in the creators of Kid Drip LLC. We have Julius Davis. Hi, Julius.
Hi.
JL Davis. Hi, JL.
Hi.
Jair is with Jahan Davis, who's with us. Hi, Jair.
Say hi.
That's okay. Sometimes we get a little shy. And Jihan, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Are you proud of these kids?
I am, yes.
We're going to let them tell the story a little bit. Julius, JL, you want to tell us about, and grab those microphones and bring it real close to you. That way we can hear you. You want to tell us a little, I'll start with Julius. What's the idea of Kid Drip?
Kid Drip sells a plethora of products to celebrate the beauty of being black, like clothing, accessories, handmade dolls, and jewelry.
I'm looking at a couple of shirts here. The shirts are part of the product line here?
Yes.
All right, so JL, you want to tell me about the shirt you're wearing?
Yes.
Tell me about the shirt. So you get right in the microphone and tell people what you're wearing.
I'm wearing a Dope Kid Matter shirt, and it means we're kids are cool, and we all matter.
Yeah, there you go. Dope Kids Matter, and the word dope, instead of just a letter O, it's the continent of Africa. It looks awesome. Julius, who came up with this slogan?
My mom.
Oh, that's
She's the designer of all the shirts.
I love this. So, all right, Jihan, so you got to tell me How have you kind of navigated working with them to put this all together? How did this all come together?
So this is all brand new to them. So I take a lot of lead on it, but I do include them on designs. I get their opinion on things. So it even goes back to why we started. We were going through two major things in 2020. So it was the pandemic. So I wanted them to learn how to have their own, something to fall back on if the, Lord forbid, the economy crashes or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. Also being home with them and homeschooling them, I see that the school, some schools do prepare them for the future, but it doesn't give them an opportunity to think about what they're going to do as far as being self-sufficient. So I wanted them to also learn how to be bosses for themselves, not just go to school to get a job to work for someone else. Another event that was going on during 2020 was also the Black Lives Matter movement, and we know what events brought that about. So my kids had questions and doubts about who they were, their skin color, things like that. I just wanted them to be have something to be proud of, and also to remind you, not just the, so KidTrip is for kids, but it also expands out to adults as well. But it's just to remind everyone of who we are and the beauty of just our skin color. That's the first thing you see when you see someone is their skin color. And I don't want them to have a negative connotation to being Black. I want them to understand all the beauty about who we are before we came to the United States and who we, how we contributed to the history all these years.
I think that is just beautiful. Julius, can I ask you, tell me a little bit about how you feel about being Black and why you're proud.
It just feels nice. Like, I don't know why, but I just like my skin color. It just reminds me of chocolate.
But that actually goes into, like, our logo and everything that we have took a lot of thought. Mm-hmm. When you see our logo, the drip itself is brown, and it reminds you of melanin and dripping chocolate. It also stands, if you see his shirt, it says DRIP, and underneath it, it also is an acronym, which is Daring to Replenish the Innovative People. So we are creators. We're creators. We're inventors. We're all these great things. So it's not drip. If you think about the word in Urban Dictionary, it's about materialistic things like your money, your cars. Mm-hmm. But our drip is more talking about our God-given drip. Again, that melanin, that skin color that we should be proud of.
I love that. Let me ask JL the same question. How do you feel?
Happy that I look like chocolate.
Well, I mean, and you know, you've got kids who are, you've given them the title of co-CEO. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility you've given to your children. What if they have a coup and they try to oust you?
Mommy always has the final say.
Yeah,
but
that's what I thought.
LLC, I wanted them to be equal partners. So that's why it's a family business and everyone has an equal partnership in it.
I think that's smart. I also think as much as, you know, you and I are cool, right? We're always going to be cool.
Of course, yeah.
But sometimes what kids think is cool is a little different. And if you're marketing for kids, it's really useful to have co-CEOs who are children. Are they helping you?
So I would definitely say my son, Julius, he's a little more open-minded. My daughter is a little more stickler on me. So I may do a design that's a play on words. And if she doesn't catch it, it's like, no exit, Mom. We're not going to. So I have to sit there
She's tough.
And plan and actually like explain to her, well, this is what it really means. And she's like, yeah. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And we're not going to do it. But then at the end, if I still feel it's something good and we have Julius again, we might still go for it.
Julius, do you and JL, you know, do you feel like you're good consultants? Are you helpful with ideas? What do you think?
Yes.
I mean, like, do you think your sister is reasonable or do you ever disagree with her?
Oh, be honest.
I'm not sure.
Sometimes,
like, her reasons to not make the shirts don't make any sense. But sometimes they're pretty, like, there's good reasons.
I mean, JL, you can defend yourself if you want. Hmm? Are you pretty tough on your mom? Mm,
sometimes. I don't know.
Yes.
Julius, is your mom pretty cool?
Yes.
I think she's very cool. Do you think 5 years from now you will think your mom is very cool?
Yes.
Oh, good.
She's more than cool.
He's earned a milkshake.
Yeah.
So Sonic break afterwards.
No, Starbucks.
Now, I want to ask Jihan, I mean, everything looks, it looks so good.
Thank you.
What is your background that led you to be able to work with them and create this stuff?
I don't have a background in it, actually.
Wow.
So I would say the creative mind is mainly what's helped me so far. It's, again, just looking at what's hot right now, I would say, and then doing our research and seeing what's not out there already, mm-hmm. and trying to make something of our own. Like I said, Drip is out there. You will see other clothing lines that have the Drip, but again, it's more focused toward materialistic things, where our Drip, again, like I said, is celebrating who we are. It has an acronym that actually has a meaning behind it. So we're just trying to be different, and with that, it just comes trial and error.
I think it's not only a great looking line of products, but you know, you are instilling in your own children and probably anybody who buys these products a sense of pride at a time that I know has been tough. Yeah. I know it's been tough. Do you think about your kids and think about what's been going on in this country? Are you worried about them in the future, or are you, you feel things are moving in a better direction?
I don't know. I'm worried for them. Well, one big thing being Mama Bear, I am very overprotective with them, so they are sheltered from a lot of stuff that goes on in the country and the world. Mm-hmm. That's actually going to make me cry. And I'm worried that in the future, maybe things won't get better because of how things are. I've never seen it where we have been in 2020 with the president and all that stuff. I've never seen it that bad. And I just hope that it does get better for them.
We're not going to go back there.
Yeah.
it's not going to happen. We're not going to allow that. And you've got great young kids and learning a lot and showing a lot of leadership and people who are listening. And let me ask Matthew Wagstaff, when you think about not just these products, but also the mission behind these products, Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this story here is truly about legacy for me. And so legacy, not from a financial standpoint solely, but from a cultural standpoint, from a family standpoint, those values that Gian is instilling in her children. This is a true story of legacy and building that pride up at a super young age, too, which is super valuable. And so that's what comes to my mind about Kid Drip. I'm super excited about everything that they're doing. I love what the acronym stands for. I wish more people just understood that, and I'm super happy to have them a part of the community.
Thank you.
Jihan, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what your goals are, and I mean, have you been able to move any products yet? I don't know how long you've been doing it.
We, again, became official in LLC in July of 2020. We were still trying to figure out what we wanted to sell and things like that. I would say definitely this year is even bigger for us because we're finding our own. We're not trying to be like everyone else. We definitely have mood product. We have a lot of customers that are actually out in other states versus what we've been doing in Rochester. My biggest thing is I don't want this to be something that's quick and fast. I want them to grow in it. I want them to actually take the lead and come up with their own ideas. And like my daughter said, she wants a big store and big company. I also want this, not only just to also, I don't want them to feel also isolate themselves. I want to be able to reach out in other cultures as well, too. So we will start doing that and involving other cultures in our line as well. I don't know. I think the sky's the limit.
So you've had a customer in another state.
Oh, yeah. We have several customers in other states.
What is that like for you?
It's cool to me. And then I try to get them excited when we get that alert that we have a new order. And I'm like, you got a new order. And I'm cheesing ear to ear. And they're like, ooh, why they're still watching TV.
Kids can be hard to impress sometimes.
Right. But I think it's really cool so that we're not just local, but we're also reaching out and we're getting out there. So
I'll ask them in a second.
Okay.
What to you is the hardest part of all of this?
There's a couple of different things. I think one is going to be an original, coming up with our own product, something that someone doesn't already have, and also just keeping them involved in it. So I try to involve them in every way possible, even though I know that they're young, they probably don't understand it. But if I have to go meet with our apparel guy to make T-shirts, I make them at least come in the car with me just so they know how much effort it takes to have to run a business. So I think that would be the biggest part, is just keeping them involved and also just making sure that we are unique and staying that way.
Julius, have you learned anything in this process so far?
Yes.
What have you learned?
How hard it takes, like how hard it is to like make your business big. Yeah. Like how much work it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes if you think about an idea is a good one, like if you think, well, this looks good, I would buy it, I've got friends who like it, you might just think, well, this should work. But there's a lot of things that have to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I hope that you're appreciating everybody, including your mother, who are doing some of that work, for sure. JL, what about you? Have you learned anything?
I don't know.
She's the most shy of the group. Is she always this shy, John?
No. So it all depends on what the topic is, what's going on. I think they did actually very well today for their first interview.
I think they're doing just wonderfully.
Yeah.
I think they're doing just wonderfully. And Matt Wagstaff, part of the Young Entrepreneur Marketplace, allows kids who have ideas to get a chance to learn what it feels like to talk about it. And it's not always easy, and sometimes it takes multiple times, and the older you get, the more confident you get. But can you talk to me a little bit about what you're hoping kids are gaining through this program?
Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the head, Evan. I mean, other than that initial feeling of, yes, I created something and I received cash as a result of that product, second to that, or probably on the same level, is the life skills that the young people learn. So the ability to look someone in the eye when you're talking to them, to be able to shake a hand, or in this day and age, do the elbow bump or whatever we're doing now in COVID, to recognize someone that way, to be able to speak clearly, to be able to negotiate. Those communication skills aren't always taught in our educational system. And not to downplay the educational system, they have enough on them. I just think that this provides that real life application so that in society, once we leave the classroom and around people who we're familiar with, when we get into the real world, we get a little bit shy, a little bit hesitant. But for our folks to be successful in the future, relationships are going to play a huge role as technology takes more of a prominent position. And so I really will hope that the young people who are participating in this program and this experience really are just be able to come out their shells with the support of their parents. In a safe environment that they can feel like they can communicate with someone who they've never met before and develop those skills that are going to take them far, whether they're going to be entrepreneurs or just contributors to society.
All right, so let me hit you with their website. It's kiddripllc.com. Is that right,
yes.
John?
Yes.
Kiddripllc.com. What are people going to find there?
Go ahead, JL.
Yeah, JL, you got it. What are people going to find?
They're going to find some shirts. Sweatpants. We have father and son ties. Mm-hmm. We have hats also.
We also have
lip gloss.
Lip gloss.
Yes, lip gloss. We have jewelry. Again,
handmade. We have bracelets.
Gals. Yeah, that's part of jewelry. But yes, we have a lot of things, and even right. stuff that we don't have them on the website, we do have on our social media. It's hard to try and update everything by myself, but you also can see us on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook is Kidrip LLC, and Instagram would be Drip4Kids2. That's Drip the number 4, Kids and the number 2.
Drip4Kids2 on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And Kidrip on
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yes.
But the website, kiddripllc.com. If you had a big order come in tomorrow, would you be terrified or excited?
Excited.
That was JL. I love
well,
that.
Well, yeah. She would be excited.
You'd be both, maybe?
Probably excited and terrified. They're learning a lot of things as far as like keeping your word, making mm-hmm. sure that your product has been delivered in a timely fashion. So I want to make sure that we're not only taking the orders, but able to also produce them in a timely fashion, not have people waiting too long.
I'm really grateful that you were here to share this story.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And in 3 to 5 years, if this is doing what you want it to do, what's it look like?
I see Kidrip stores probably throughout the nation.
No. Huge tower.
A no. huge tower?
A huge tower. Okay. A Kidrip tower.
I love that.
Lovely.
And our brand just being out there and well known.
I love that.
Thank you.
And I want to thank not only Jahan, but Julius, JL, Jair. Thank you for being here to share the story.
Thank you for having us.
You got it. Mm-hmm. And your mom's right. You guys have done wonderfully today. you know, you're talking in public, on public radio, live, mm-hmm. and you're presenting really, really well. You mm-hmm. should be very proud. Matt, in our last minute or so, let's just talk about what you see happening next here, because you've got this event on August 14th, but beyond that, I know it's difficult sometimes to take ideas and make them work. How much support in the community will there be for brands like this?
Yeah, again, I think the opportunity is the sky's the limit on this one. I want to be able to provide those the platform and the services to support building that awareness for each of these organizations. So my background is in finance and marketing, and so I want to help them from a promotional standpoint, but also be able to create mechanisms to help finance their vision. And so we're working through some things now to help receive community donations so that can be taxable, tax-deductible-wise, but then also be able to create some electronic platforms to supplement what they already have. So think of Amazon for young kids, essentially. So anyone who's listening right now who has some ideas or some thoughts, or don't take the idea, but if you want to help me, let's partner on it. You know, let's work together on that one.
YoungEntrepreneurMarketplace.org. Your son does cookies?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
I 20 seconds, Matt. You got to sell me on the cookies.
Oh, my God. Mason's cookies and coffee.
It's incredible.
He says, mommy likes cookies and daddy loves coffee, but he's making only cookies right now, and they are phenomenal. He has sugar cookies with a cotton candy frosting, which are to die for.
Wow. So,
I'll leave it at that.
Good. Awesome stuff. Matt, thanks for making time for the program and introducing the community to these remarkable young people. I really appreciate the work you're doing, Matt.
Thanks so much, Evan. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt, creator of the Young Entrepreneur Marketplace. And I'm just going to say to everybody in this room, Silas Alvarez, Luva Alvarez, Jahan Davis, Jair, JL, Julius, thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I've got just enough money in my wallet for a bottle of sauce walking out the door. Rob Braden, engineer. Megan Mack, producer, MRA Stein, production assistant, and they're doing so much great work behind the scenes. I hope people appreciate the whole Connections team. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. We're back with you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.